Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
And we are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. And it is the, we've made it.
Oh my God. 23, 24 races. I've lost count at this point. And we did it. You know, it looked daunting at the beginning of the season. I can't even remember the beginning of the season, but we crossed the finish line. The final checkered flag has been waved.
I was a different person at the beginning of the season.
Same.
I've lived seven lives since.
At least. Yes. Yeah.
Since we kicked this season off.
I think some of the drivers have lived seven lives. We've gotten new drivers on the grid since the beginning of the season. I mean,
we've gotten multiple new drivers.
Yeah, we didn't end the season with the same people we started with.
No one was busier this season than the production team of the intros. They were just popping the people in and
turning out. And you know, there's no sleep till Brooklyn for the Netflix crew, because you know they're going to be in that room editing, because we gave them a season of unforgettable moments this year.
Yeah, it was truly, we had a December to remember. We had all the months.
We sure did.
I think that they're, do you think they're doing it in like the two drops again? Like,
I hope
the
so.
First, yeah.
I hope so. I feel like I really appreciate that we're going towards that direction. I mean, I appreciate it in the beginning, but then when I'm like, I want more. And then they're like, you have to wait. And I'm like, eh. But it does kind of like, you know, in an age of instant gratification for everything, I do appreciate having to wait for television that I want to watch.
Okay, well, I love that. I love that for you.
Specifically just for you. That's it.
I just don't like feeling behind. Mm-hmm. And so when they give us, you know, they give us time to catch up, I prefer that. Makes me feel like I'm, you know, less behind. And that's my own internal anxieties that I'm sharing with the class. But when they drop them all and everybody's already watched them and I haven't had time to watch them,
yeah,
it creates additional anxieties for me.
That we don't need that.
No.
We don't need that. No.
So anyways, we made it to the end of the season.
We did. We made it to the end. And you know, the Abu Dhabi race, it was a good win. I mean,
yeah, we don't need to recap it because we're coming in a week late.
Guys, sorry about that. I don't know what happened last week. I think honestly, I don't know. I thought we didn't record. I don't really know. And then it was Sunday and I was like, Danielle, should we record? And she's like, yeah, we should. I'm like, damn it.
We should record. we should wrap this season up with a bow as a little Christmas present. Maybe you're listening to this as you wrap the night
presents
away.
Yeah. Maybe you're catching up and you're
let
like,
this be all right, a present.
Maybe you're on your way to visit your family and you're like, please give me a distraction. We got you. We got you.
You know, it's happened though.
Oh, yes, it has.
There's nothing that we cannot start or stop without talking about what we've been talking about all season.
Yes.
The divorce has come. The separation has come.
The papers are final.
Yeah. They've put the, you know, they've sent him to the lawyers. Sergio Perez is out at Red Bull.
And can I just, for a hot second, the post that Red Bull put yesterday, which was, it said gracias, but instead of the I, it was the 11. And the caption was, and I quote, gracias por todo. And I was like, did you just Google Translate for Sergio's goodbye? Like, this was your caption for him? You just hit the Googler and said, what do we say in Spanish? That felt so performative to me. I was so hot about that. And I was like, you did this man dirty all season.
No, they said, and don't let the door hit you on the way out.
You couldn't even give him a front-facing photo. You had to do it from the back. Rude. Rude.
Well, we know they've hated him since
last year. Yeah.
April. They liked him at the beginning of the season. He still was... He was not dragging ass at the beginning of the season. They had not fully sabotaged his car yet.
No, but I think they wanted him out last year. And they were like, ah, we have a contract and it's full of monies. Well, and they're like, all right, fine, you can stay.
Well, then he was doing so well and they were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We gotta do something. And then they started, you know, they had to have started messing with the vehicle.
Yeah. I'm like, this is
certainly right. Yeah. They had to certainly do
they
so.
Did. They definitely. And I feel like maybe it was Jensen Button. It was like this conspiracy about, you know, people thinking that, you know, the cars are different. He's like, everybody wants the cars to be the same. The mechanics and everybody wants the team to do well. That is bullshit because I read the book The Mechanic from Mark Elvis Presley, and he gave a very full detail because he was the mechanic during the McLaren age with Alonso and Lewis. And I can cite things in that book that says otherwise, Jensen. So shut your mouth because that's not true. The mechanics do get paid to make decisions based on their driver. At least they did in the olden days. So
if you guys are new here, Shannon references The Mechanic with fiery regularity.
Oh, I do. It's such a good book. And you should listen to the audio version because it sounds like the Geico
like Gecko
reads it. And you're like, this is so good.
Please read. Someone else read this book and drop into the DMs and talk to Shannon about it. So
I'm dying to have an F1 book club and I have like one member.
Well, there has been. Somebody has tried to send us like the fiery, like the
oh, yeah. We have a girl that's writing a book now and she's like, when it's done, do you mind if I send it to you? And I was like, oh my God, nothing would make me happier. Could you please send it to me? And she also is from North Carolina, which I am from North Carolina. So I was like, oh. Look at that. North Carolina girlies. Here we go.
High five. Okay. Back to the matter.
Sorry. Again.
So Sergio's out.
Yeah. He's bye. Out. Adios. Bye. Let me go.
Adios. See you later. Adios. Gracias por todo. Para todo. Yeah.
And I was like, what? Oh my God. It felt so terrible.
So yeah. What's next?
What's next? Well, we've got a what's next from Liam Lawson because that is the decision that has been made. And according to, do you have this in your news and notes?
No, go ahead. I'm flying fast and loose.
Fast and loose. Okay. Christian Horner made a comment that, you know, after the test and the tire test in Abu Dhabi, Liam and Yuki did a great job. But what he was saying was like after 11 races in Formula One, Liam seems to have more potential than Yuki.
Which is some bullshit.
It is some bullshit because I'm like, you've given him, like, you let him test in the Red Bull. You've let Yuki test in the Red Bull. And you let Liam test in the Red Bull. But you're basing your whole thing over Yuki, who has been in the sport for the past couple years in a, you know, second tier car. Over a tire test with Liam Lawson, who has been also in a second tier car and with only done 11 races. Like, I hate that. I hate that for Yuki. You know, I thought I was going to be Team Lawson when he came in, and now I'm not. I'm absolutely not. And it's not his fault. It is fucking Red Bull's fault. It's always Red Bull's fault.
There's one thing about the car, but at Red Bull, what I think is going to be the issue here is at Red Bull, you also have to have the Max Verstappen of it all.
Yes, you do.
And I don't foresee these two. Liam hasn't proven so far. We do not know. I say this coming from a limited knowledge base of Liam Lawson's personality, since we are not fully entrenched in Liam Lawson lore yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But from what's scratching the surface of what we've seen is, he doesn't appear to be the most personable and or well-liked among his peers. Okay, and yeah. I feel like you need someone a little bit more maybe amenable, maybe someone like a Yuki Tsunoda to maybe balance out And it feels like we're doing the two magnets, like, that are going to be pushing against each other. And I can foresee some potential tension. Also, you know, Max is Max, and we like Max for what Max is, but we don't seem like there's a lot of charisma in the Red Bull team. Like, what content are we making from this? What sponsorship things are we doing? Like, Yuki and Max could be a really fun buddy comedy. There could have been some really good, some funny, like, accent things where they don't understand each other, or like some kind. I feel like we could have gotten a lot more. You know, this is obviously a car decision, but there's also a huge marketing aspect to this too. And and just like how the personalities play out and how you push things and how, you know, talking points, you know, personas, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to, you know, maybe they both are just going to be great and it's just going to be, let's make money and drive cars. But
I, okay. So I agree with you on this sentiment that Liam does seem to be like
prickly.
Prickly is a good, he's fine when he's not in a racing suit. Because I swear to God, once he like zips that thing up, he does take on a new personality. I've seen his interviews outside of that. And he loves Lightning McQueen. Like, he got teary eyed when he got to meet the car. And I'm like, you know, the car ain't real, right, buddy? And he was like, I don't care. You know, and it was cute. It was
Shannon, stop was acting like you wouldn't cry if you met the car too.
I did meet the car and there was a tear. Okay. Like, yeah, okay. I was there. I remembered all too well.
That was a lot of judgment from someone who references Lightning McQueen also there quite frequently.
But my tear came because watching my daughter meet him for the first time was very sweet, very innocent.
Was it just your daughter or was it you?
maybe Danielle. Maybe I was working through some things. Okay. But I think you're right. I think Liam and him don't have the right chemistry. But what I think is that Liam does not pose a threat to Max in that race car.
Well, neither does Yuki.
Yes, I think because Yuki is a I don't give a shit kind of guy, he's going to take out what he's going to take out. And he is reckless. You know, like, he does make like very hot-headed, reckless decisions at times. Now, has he gotten better? Absolutely. Do we love Yuki? Yes, we do. But I do think it would be difficult for anybody to be Max's teammate. I mean, nobody's come out of that thing alive. Like, he's gotten rid of everybody. So I don't want to see Yuki go to the wayside because Max is like, this guy, I can't handle this guy. But I think the content would be superior with Yuki. But I just don't know that they would be good teammates, because I just don't know that Yuki would be able to concede and be the second place guy all the time.
I think that being the second place guy is better than where he is right now.
Well, yeah, but I also think if Yuki's going to Red Bull, like, he's going to want to drive how he wants to drive. I mean, he gets to drive how he wants to drive now. So, like, I think he would have a lot more restrictions at Red Bull. I don't know. I mean, again, this is my own take on this. I don't know, but would Yuki take the spot? Yes. If it was offered to him, I think he would. Is he going to be super pissed and fiery that he didn't get it? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do think that Helmut and Max were like, mm-mm, I'm not taking Yuki. Like, I believe those two said no, thank you.
I just, I 100% agree. I just think that maybe, hopefully it plays out in the car exactly how they want, and then it doesn't really matter otherwise. But I do think they've been quite dry in terms of a personality. And we all know that that's a huge part of playing the game.
Yeah.
I mean let's not act like it's a whole part of
The best content that they gave us was when Daniel Ricciardo was the reserve driver.
Oh, 100%.
It was great.
It was the best marketing choice that Red Bull's made in years. Agreed. And you know, everyone knows I'm not a Daniel Ricciardo stan, but like, he was the only one that was giving the team any sort of personality or spunk or fun. So yeah. I mean, I think Checo was I think what Checo was doing in Mexico was very valuable to the team. So I don't discount that at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And I do think that he does very well when he's like being pushed from a marketing perspective in his native country and language. So, you know, no knocks on him from a marketing perspective there. I just think that they could have had a lot more fun with it. And I think they could have drawn out a side of Max that would have made him more appealing as a superstar too.
Yeah.
And I think it could have maybe been a great, better decision for Max from, we all know he's a star. We all know he's going to be a legend of, like, he is a legend of the sport. He is further cementing his legend status. I think that if he had someone who brought his personality out in a way that was more endearing, it could cement him further as an icon. Like, Lewis is an amazing driver, but people love Lewis because of who he is, like, as a person too. And I think that a proper partner for Max could have really helped him cement that same level of fame and status.
Well, on this same note, do you think we'll get something out of Max that's a little different now that he's going to be a father?
Oh, Papa Max, maybe. Mm. Softer?
A little softer?
No.
No.
No. No. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm looking forward to a little Papa Max journey. Maybe that little bebe at the track.
Well, he's already... good at staying up to all hours of the night. Like, he's going to slide right into that, you know, sleeping babies don't sleep.
Yeah, like, that little baby can be with him.
Sleep. Yeah.
He's going to be
on the Sims. It's like,
he's going to be smashing the buttons on the Sims and having a little baby just push the baby too. Yeah, I'm here for it, for Papa Max's journey. So,
yeah, maybe that'll be the key to softening Max, is to, you know, show him as a dad.
You know, I've really leaned into more Max this year. So
you really have. I was gonna say,
I'm a Max apologist now.
You are. I was like, things that have changed over this season. Danielle's now a Max fan.
I mean, I don't know if I'm saying a Max fan. I've just met Max where he is. You know.
Yeah, which is very kind of you. Yeah.
Yeah. So another we've got the answer to another big question.
Ooh, what's that?
What's next?
What's next? Yeah.
What's next? Valtteri, another king, and who I'm a true fan of.
Yes.
Is going back to black.
Going back to Mercedes. And you guys, this makes me so happy because I don't have to get rid of my Mercedes gear now. I can keep
Truly.
It.
Okay. I don't wish ill or harm or, you know, sickness on anyone. Mm-mm. But if something did befall someone on Team Mercedes, like, I am dying to get Valtteri back in a Mercedes and to just see what he can get back to. I would love.
So I don't know, maybe, because it feels like there's a pattern where every season a new Formula One driver gets their appendix out.
Yeah.
What if it could
Fingers crossed.
George, and then Valtteri just pops in and says, I know how to drive this car.
It would be delightful. A little gift.
A little bitty gift.
And you want to talk about team knowing that they need to maybe, like, amp up their likability from a marketing perspective? Mercedes. They said, okay, we've got kind of like, we got a new guy. We got a kind of, George is fine and he's getting better, but we got kind of a dry guy.
I mean, Kimmy.
Let's get a guy who can drive the car and do the bit.
I mean, no one does the bit better.
The bit is so good. Valtteri's bit is iconic.
So good. And their little how they announced him, I thought was
this little
that one
graphic is incredible.
It kind of
on YouTube,
little...
you would be able to see what we were showing you.
Exactly.
Watch us on YouTube.
It is giving a little bit of Hulk Hogan, which I don't love.
Oh, 100%.
But
yellow,
I know who
it would
be. Supposed to be. Yeah.
If it was yellow, it'd be Hulk Hogan. But we know it's Valtteri.
It's an iconic silhouette, and we know, you know.
But does that mean Mick is out?
Yeah. They released him as the driver earlier this year.
Poor Mick. No, he was – did they – he was there at the last race.
Oh, he wasn't a driver.
No. He was a reserve driver.
Wait, he's not coming back. That's
Yeah.
They did not renew his contract for 25.
Yeah.
And nobody's picked him up.
No, I know. Well,
poor little Mick. He'll find his place. Mick. Yeah.
I'm not worried about his future. You know, he's the son of a, you know, billionaire. He'll be okay.
He's got a pretty iconic last name. He'll be fine.
Right? He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Yes, he will.
You know who else will be fine?
Who?
Lewis Hamilton.
I just cannot wait for the drop of the Red 44. Give it to me. Give me all the Red 44 right now. Let's do it.
Yeah, you're officially in your Tifosi era.
I am. Welcome. I'm being welcomed. I would like to touch on the leaving, the last race when he gets out of the car and, you know, is hugging everybody in the garage and does the donuts. And like, you know, it was just, it was so sweet and it was so precious. And it was, it's exactly how you wanted to see an icon leave
the ascent. Okay, but I do think we were getting a little bit of the same Daniel Ricciardo treatment of like, he's not dead.
Correct. Yeah. I was,
and like,
yeah.
He's not even leaving the sport. Like,
he no, like here. He's just switching teams. But it felt a little more appropriate given his history and like, you know, yeah. He created they did it together, but like,
no, I agree. You know. But it was just, we were getting a little bit of the light. It wasn't the full, like, is Daniel Ricciardo dead
yeah.
treatment that the internet was giving when he left the sport. When I was like, has he passed? Like,
did we miss something?
Is it okay? Yeah. Like, has there been an announcement? Was there he in some sort of, you know, tragic accident?
Yeah. Because
we were getting like he was passing when, and this was not the same level of Daniel Ricciardo content, but it had light.
Easily, yeah.
Like, he's not leaving the sport. He's just, I did think the video of him leaving the Mercedes factory and doing the little, like, parade out was quite lovely.
I did too. Yeah, I did too.
If you haven't watched that video and you need like if you're in the midst of a holiday panic and you just need to let out the tears, maybe go watch that. It'll just, it'll help you like cleanse the soul for a second.
It's a good
one. It was nice.
It is nice. And I did love like just watching like the people that we don't see, you know, like the factory workers and like the, you know, the front house people. And like, you kind of wonder, who was his favorite? You know, like, you always have like an office mate or somebody in your office that you kind of gravitate more towards, you know, a little bit more. And like, I'm just curious, like, who is that person we didn't see? Was it like a secretary or?
No, who was his like work mom? Cause you know, like everyone has like a work mom and like a work bestie and like a work, you know.
Yeah.
Like not who's in taking care of
like,
him
in the office. Like, who would he see? And he's like, mm-mm. You give it to Glenda because Glenda's going to make it right. And she's going to give it to how I like it. Like that.
Yeah, she doesn't fuck up my itinerary or she like doesn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She does it right the first time.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, come here. I got to tell you something. You know, like.
Yes.
He looks at her across the room or like him or whoever it is, like his work best. Like,
yeah,
you and I, we got to.
Right. You interested in moving to Italy? What you think?
Yeah.
I'll take care of you.
Or he just like, somebody else starts talking and he just makes eye contact with someone and is like. Like hits the roll eyes, just like this guy again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would like to know that.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff. And again, the
Drive to Survive is not covering that. And that's
it's not covering that, but we need to know. The list of questions for Liz gets really long.
I would actually like a documentary. It doesn't need to be like multi-season, but like maybe a limited series. But I do think it would be very fun to have a documentary about the factories, the home base, of just seeing the inner workings of that away from the actual races. The kind of like The Office, but like of F1.
Yes.
I think that could be super interesting, you know.
Who do you think would have the most entertaining office?
That's a good question. Not McLaren. I feel like it's probably pretty regimented.
Well, I think Mercedes is probably buttoned up too.
Yeah. I think Ferrari would be kind of fun, but you'd have to read a lot of subtitles. So, you know, it would be like a visual, like your eyes would have to work out a lot.
Yes. Aston Martin would be not a fun one either. Although would love to do like a, it wouldn't be funny, but I would love for someone to just wear like, you know, those glasses that take the pictures of everything like that Charles wears, the Google Ray-Ban glasses. Ones.
Yeah.
Would love to see like the inside workings of how that office works. Cause you know, they got some stories.
Also, I bet it's super nice. I feel like the finishes are probably quite lovely. No, I think Red Bull would probably be the best because the company culture of Red Bull is more off the cuff and a little wild and
relax.
Obviously, we know that, you know, people are just Christian Horner, you know. Ooh. But I don't want to see any of that. But I do think that maybe that's going to would maybe be the liveliest crew.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That or Ferrari, but just I can't read that much subtitles, or I would have to learn Italian. But I would love to see it. I bet it's beautiful, stunning. I mean, I've seen a couple. There's a great 60 Minutes if anyone's interested. It's more on the actual like Ferrari, not the F1 team, the actual like car manufacturer's story on that, and it's amazing. So if you're looking,
all right. Thank you, Danielle.
They don't let people in a lot. You know that?
No, I didn't know that. I felt like that would be like a tour. You could just take a tour.
I think you can like go visit it, but they don't let like cameras in. They don't let like TV cameras in a lot to just, you know, it's less, they're not frequently opening up the doors to the media.
Okay. Good to know. So, good to know.
Anyways, watch that 60 Minutes. It's great. It's an old one. Speaking of Ferrari, they have given a launch date for Hamilton and Leclerc 2025.
What's the date?
Mark your calendar, everybody. February 19th, Lewis Hamilton's first Ferrari Formula car will break cover a day after the sport's inaugural season launch at London's the O2 to mark its 75th anniversary, which we got to talk about that. That's a whole thing with Gene, but but we will be getting, that new car.
On the 19th.
Circle it.
It's on the calendar. That's amazing.
Ferrari boss Fred Vasseur revealed the date during the Italian team's annual Christmas media event this year held at the Fiorano test track. So, yeah, save the date, they said. But
I love it. I'm here for it. I can't wait.
1.5 days of running between them at the desert venue before the season opener in Melbourne.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I can't believe that it's going to be here so soon, another season.
I know. I feel like we literally just wrapped this one, and it was so long.
Yeah, it was so long.
So long.
It was so long.
It was so long.
It was so long. Okay, I think that to end the season, tie it up in a bow, we should do some of our like favorite, we're about to have a little favorite things party at my office, and I think we should do some favorite things of the 2024 season.
Okay, let's start with your favorite race.
My favorite race this year, my favorite race generally on the calendar, we all know, is Spa and or Baku. But this year, it was Monaco. Charles Leclerc winning in Monaco was everything of the sort.
Yes.
And more. Fulfilled my heart, my soul. Like, the joy hit from the here. Tip to toes. What about you?
Silverstone.
Yeah, same reason. Huh?
That was mine. It was the first time we've seen my boo-boo on the podium.
You're not wearing any merch.
Winning. I can see my merch. Hold on. Let me grab it. Out of my
closet. Give your Lewis Hamilton Mercedes merch one
last. Well, it's not Mercedes. It's just the Furious Moto.
Oh,
Here you go. I've got Lewis somewhere down here. Oh. I think I just pulled my pec muscle out. It's an aggressive pull off the hanger.
Woo. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my favorite race. Seeing him hoist another trophy above his head. Cause, you know, honestly wasn't sure that was going to happen in a Mercedes, ever again after, you know, Abu Dhabi. So
I don't think you thought so either.
I think we were all surprised. So yeah, that one was my favorite.
Who was your favorite driver of the year? And let's maybe do like a class A and a class B driver, like, you know, a superstar driver, and then maybe maybe up and comer, maybe often overlooked.
Okay. I will say my favorite driver, non-Lewis Hamilton,
yeah,
was Oscar Piastri. I was very impressed with him this year. I thought he, you know, he drove beautifully, minimal mistakes. He had a great run. I, you know, felt towards the, I thought McLaren really kind of did him dirty with some decisions.
Don't get me started about McLaren's strategy.
I know. So I was like, all right. But as a driver, I thought he did great. And on like the newbie level, I really enjoyed watching Franco, although he, I don't know if it was something more of like, you know, like I like him. I think he's funny. But I also kind of felt like, you know, the Williams car just was a fucking shit show all season. So I was like, oh my God. But now hearing that, you know, James was like, test everything. Everything's got to change. So like,
well, put said, everything like, to the limits.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, you know, they did everything you asked them to do. That's great. So I really liked watching him come into this and was like, okay, I like this kid. If there's anybody else that really stood out to me this season, that was, I mean, it was like the front of the pack and then like the mid layer, you know, like I think Yuki had a great season. Obviously Pierre did great with not getting a single dollar.
That's who my pick is for the best of the rest.
Okay.
Best of the rest is, I think, Pierre Gasly, great season. No, not costing his team any money. A social media king. Mm-hmm. You know, and had a great year. I had unexpectedly, I think he battled through some hard times, some tough times, beginning of the season, rough for Alpine.
Yeah.
Real rough. Then they, you know, made some changes. And I think he was super above board the whole time. Like he was never throwing the team under the bus. I mean, he was, you know, angry a few times, but never, you know, he was a real above board guy. And frankly, I think I hope for more for him in the 2025 season.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I would like to see him do big things, bigger things at LP.
Yeah, I just think he has so much untapped potential so far. And he is, I mean, right now he's kind of a veteran, but he's still also quite young. So
yeah, he's got a lot of learning to do.
Yeah, he's just got a lot. His trajectory, I feel like, is great. And I hope for good things for him. And I hope Alpine kind of gets it together for his sake.
Same.
And I think it would be cool. What if I wish for him what Lewis and Charles had this year. I would love to see Pierre win in France.
Yes.
Would be lovely.
Yeah.
Magnifique.
Magnifique. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's my best of the rest. And obviously, yeah, my pick of driver, my driver of the year, my heart, soul, mind, body. Charles Leclerc, he had a great year. Last year, he had a shitbag year. This year, great year.
Yeah.
Great year. Was in it till the end. Like, great year.
Yeah. Why is this going that way? I agree. I think
next year's only going to be better.
Yeah, I agree. He had a great season. And I will say something, Danielle. You're going to love. He outdrove his partner this year, Carlos Sainz. Although Carlos had a good season.
He did have a great season. I love Carlos. Love Carlos.
Your boy had a better season.
I just won't take any Charles Leclerc slander.
And I never give slander. I just give facts.
You've slandered him a little bit. Nope. Slight slander.
Slight slander.
That's fine. This year he said... He said, screw the haters.
Right. I got things to prove. Mm-hmm. Favorite race of the season?
Of the season.
Not like how it finished, but like favorite track. Because we just did like, you know, Monaco was your favorite race and Silverstone was mine. But like favorite race at a track.
Well, honestly, Shannon, it's hard because all the races right now are mushing together in my mind. Like, frankly, I can't, you go first.
I'm going to go Brazil just because it was so chaotic and we had needed something to shake up the monotony of the season. And Brazil was like, oh, okay, we got you. Everybody got a penalty. So many people left the race that it was like, what the fuck is happening, you know, on this race. So that one was really good. And I'm also going to throw in Miami because that was Lando's win, his first win, and that was like dethroning Max. So I felt like that was a really good, like, you know, like, I think that's where things started to battle, shift
yeah.
a little
yeah,
bit.
It was we nice like, to see Lando win. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to say, I was, you know, cataloging my brain and I was like, Baku was really good.
Baku
this year.
Was really good.
Mm-hmm. And it was Oscar won that race, which I also thought was kind of a moment where we, in the season where things kind of, another kind of pivot point where we're like, oh, Oscar's really going to be doing this year. Mm-hmm. And Charles finished second. And it was one of the first podiums. Like it was early enough in the season. It was kind of when we saw that the Red Bull kind of dipped a little bit too. That was a Oscar Charles George finish. Lando was in fourth. You know, we didn't, it kind of was one of the first races where we didn't have Max just maxing out. So yeah. I think that that was, one of my favorites too. And I also just really love that track and it's on a, it's a bucket list for me, but I thought that the race was that, I think sometimes it can be, it can get like where nobody passes, but I thought it was actually a good race this year.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good one.
That hairpin turn is also one of my favorites. Oh, at Baku.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah. I'm surprised we don't see more like crash outs there.
I know. I think that they're a little more cautious,
but I think yeah. they go like super slow.
Yeah.
As slow as you can go.
Slow as you can go. Favorite social, like favorite social media admin and then favorite social media driver.
Okay. No question. Mercedes admin always nails it. So fun. Had a lot of competition this season because the past couple years they've been running away with like funny shit, being snarky, and it was doing great. But I think the who really came out?
I think McLaren is.
Yeah, I was going to say McLaren has some good ones.
McLaren would be my choice. I think they put out nice content and I think they're pretty giggly too.
Yeah. I will say the cash cab people, they have some of the best transitions. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like somebody just studies transitions on that social team and is like, I got this. And you're like, okay, got it. And who does
it? And
the
team that's most likely to have an OnlyFans account is for sure Ferrari. They know they give us thirst traps all the time.
All the time. All the time. For sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure somebody does run an OnlyFans account for the drivers that the drivers don't know about, but like they have enough photos. Yeah. And the driver who does social media better than anyone is obviously hands down. There is no answer other than Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah, he's the king of socials.
King of socials. Like nobody even comes close.
No, he's epic. He gives us the perfect mix of polished and off the cuff. I mean, a full influencer.
An honorable mention is going to go to Nicole Piastri's Twitter account. Because that bitch is funny and she brings it 10 out of 10.
My honorable mention is Pierre and Kika.
Oh,
because there's no couple I want to watch travel. They give you the best aspirational couples content in the game. You want to see yachts? You want to see beautiful girls in beautiful clothes? You want to see amazing locations? You want to see golf? You want to see, I mean, you want to see it all. You want to see the nicest things. Charles's is a little too... His is also lovely, but it's also too polished sometimes.
Yeah. Cause if these people up here, like they'll be on the couch eating pizza in sweatpants, you know? And I'm like, thank you. Like sometimes she's wearing glasses and he snaps the photo and she's like,
they're giving you elevator selfies and like hanging on the couch. Mm-hmm. There are a lovely mix of aspirational and like, it's not relatable to, you know, I'm not young, stunning, beautiful, or rich, but it's not like they're not living in a. They come down and hang out with you every once in a while. I find them to be a very compelling couple to watch their content. I think that they're lovely and they seem like a lot of fun. I'd like to hang out with them.
Yeah, same.
They don't want to hang out with me, but like I think that they would be fun to hang out with.
But
I would watch a reality show of them. Yeah,
same.
And they don't seem like they take themselves too seriously, which is also key on social, which is why Valtteri is the, like, you know, the king of all kings.
Right. Yeah. That's, I agree. Cosign everything you said.
Okay. Who's your least favorite driver on the grid this year? And why is it George Russell?
it's George Russell because he's a fake ass robot. I don't like him.
You've never been so aligned with Max Verstappen in your entire life.
Oh my God. Max just nailed it for me. And I was like, thank you, Max, for saying,
do you ride with Max?
Not in the front seat, but in the back seat.
No, George is not my least favorite person on the grid. My least favorite person on the grid is no longer on the grid. Because victory is mine.
Oh, Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah. Hate him still. I hate.
God, you are truly terrible. You know that? Like, terrible. I know.
The worst. Truly. The worst.
The worst.
No, I think Liam Lawson's my least favorite driver that's currently with.
Oh, okay. Wow.
There's something about him that I don't like.
Okay.
He has a face that.
You don't like his face.
Oh, shut up. Like, you're acting like you're so much better than that. You hate George Russell, and I'm pretty sure you
not
don't like his face.
Because of his face. I mean, I don't love his face, but I don't not like him because of his face. I don't like him because of his face.
He has kind of one of those, like, punchable faces. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. That's a better way to put it. You just said I don't like him because of his face. I'm like, whoa, Danielle, I don't think
he's a conventionally attractive man. Like, no, he just has one of those faces that's, like, kind of like a smug face.
He is very smug. I will co-sign that for sure. Very smug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I'm not sure about Esteban Ocon.
Okay.
Like,
can I have a minute?
Where there's smoke, I feel like there has to be fire.
Agreed. In the beginning, when I started watching Drive to Survive, I had a soft spot for Esteban because he sat in that little cardboard box because he couldn't afford a car and he did the sim in the cardboard box. And I was like, this kid fucking gets it. And he had like some good runs where I was like, okay, I am here for this Esteban kid. This is great. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know if he just got too many zeros in his bank account and he was like, fuck it, I can just be this guy, or if he's always been that guy. I don't know. But he did kind of come out and was like, I mean, he likes to fight everybody. He's, you know, he picks a fight with everybody. And I don't like people who pick a fight just to pick a fight, which sometimes is why I get annoyed with Max. But he just seems so, like, entitled. And I'm like, for what? Like, you've never been a top-tier driver. Like, you made it to Formula One, which I understand is a big feat because there's only, you know, 20 spots. 20 guys, but, like... Yeah. It's not like you're this great.
You're not Max Verstappen. So
you're
let's
not
calm
Max Verstappen.
Down.
You got put into this car and you got a contract. Like, they would have gotten rid of you had they not had 2 years on your contract. Like let's just be honest that's how you got to stay here. Not because you drove so great and you know. Okay, he did win a race last season, which nobody saw coming, which was great. No. We love that for him. And he did get on the podium this year, which again, great, but also, there were like 8 people not in that race at the time in which you won. And so
Alpine one was, quick. It was a flash.
A W is a W. And I hate when people are like, well, can we talk about how, you know, a better loss? I'm like, no, we cannot talk about a better loss. We are talking about a win here. So I'm with you on that. Like, Esteban is super annoying. And I feel like he has grown into the annoyingness that he is.
I think maybe like someone at some point said maybe like being the villain is like your angle, and maybe he leaned into it. I don't know. There's nothing about him that I can like pinpoint about it, but I just think like if everybody's kind of annoyed with you, then maybe you're the annoying one.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel that a lot of drivers, that he rubs them the wrong way. And so if he's rubbing that many drivers the wrong way, I feel that it must have some sort of merit. Yes.
Yeah. He's the problem. I can't,
I just, you know, I wouldn't be buying merch.
Yeah.
I would be buying merch from Alex Albon. He seems like a sweet little baby darling.
I love Alex Albon. I have his merch. And you know what? I don't feel like the merch did him justice because anytime I'd wear it, he fucking crashed. So I was like, I stopped wearing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even have his sweatshirt and I wore it the other day. And Dan was like, is that new? I'm like, no, I've actually had this for a while. And he's like, you don't ever wear it. I'm like, because it doesn't bring him good luck.
Yeah. Well, and it's off season. So throw that baby on.
It's a good one. If you need good merch, Alex has good merch.
Who are you most excited to see? Like, most, I mean, obvious, and why is it obviously Lewis Hamilton and Ferrari, but like, what are you most excited for 2025?
The Red 44. Very excited to see that happen. I'm just excited to see him try something new. Like, I wasn't here when Lewis, you know, was new to Mercedes.
Well, yeah.
You know,
I don't think, I mean,
and by here, I mean, I was born. I just wasn't into the sport. Yeah. So it is kind of, it'll be fun to see like how he, you know, transitions into that role. So I'm very excited to see what he can do, you know, in a red car, see what he can do. But I'm excited to see, like McLaren get it together. Like, I think this was a big wake up year for them. And I think that they were like, okay, you know what? We didn't handle last season that great. And I think they had a lot of potential and they were the ones given,
Don't get me started.
Don't
get me started.
I know. So I'm
congrats to them because they did win.
Yeah. The constructors, which was great. And, you know,
but they could have doubled up. They could have done it.
And, you know, I think that that will haunt them, but I think that this is what fuels 2025.
I don't think it will haunt them because I think Zach Brown thinks he's smarter than everybody. And he is probably smarter than most people, but I think that I don't think he's haunted.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I'm also, you know what I'm looking forward to in 2025? Seeing less of Zach Brown. Can he just let Andrea be the principal? Get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get.
It is weird that he sits on the pit row. Cause I'm like, you're not, like you don't run.
That'd
the
be
team.
Like Helmut Marko talking. I mean, he does talk a lot, but every single interview and all this other stuff, like take a beat.
Yeah. Although I've never asked, but maybe Andrea doesn't
like to do that. Interview.
Yeah. You know, like I don't see him as the kind of guy that wants the spotlight ever. Like that's just not, I don't feel like his personality. And Zach is obviously totally fine with being the center of attention.
Oh, God,
so,
I know.
You know, that's fine.
But I don't feel like Fred is either, or like some of the other, I don't think James Vowles is particularly interested in it either, but they.
Oh no. James loves the camera. What are you talking about? He loves to sit there and have a chit chat with the camera.
He likes to have like a chit. I don't think that there's, Zach is just annoying.
Zach is.
You want to talk about maybe my least favorite person on the grid? Maybe Zach Brown.
Over Helmut Marko?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, wow.
Damn. I mean, well, no. Okay. Helmut Marko is like, you know, he has some like light racism issues and some other. Okay.
Yeah.
He has some, as a sorority girl would say in Rush, you know, some questionable morals. I don't want to hang out with Helmut Marko either, but he's not on my television screen enough to be like, ugh, get off.
Okay.
Zach just, it's a little too song and dancey for me.
Okay.
He's giving huckster vibes.
Zach is more of like an overly proud dad.
He's annoying.
You know, that wants to coach the team but isn't the coach. And you're like, sit down, dad, sit down. Like, stop it.
It's not that, I don't think he's like a bad person or anything like that. I just think he's annoying. He gives me Daniel Ricciardo vibes. The same thing that annoys me about Daniel Ricciardo is what annoys me about Zach.
Well, that is untrue, but okay.
But never forget that he did do an epic cameo that I paid a pretty penny for Shannon's daughter's bat mitzvah. And I don't regret any of that. So
no.
I will have a soft spot because he is on Cameo or was for some unknown reason. I was like, are you hard up for cash, Zach? But he did do a cameo for Ruby Jane and it was pretty awesome. Epic.
It was long too.
It was long.
And she was like, do you think he would remember me if I saw him in Miami? I'm like, if you said you were the girl that he did the cameo for your bat mitzvah, because I didn't know this at the time, but
he's half Jewish. Yeah.
And I was like, he would 1000% know he would remember that. So like that connection. And you know, for me, like, I'm like, I do have a soft spot for Zach Brown because of that. I'm like,
no, I did think that was it. I just think he's annoying. I don't think he's a bad person. Like, I think Marko is probably a bad person. Yeah. I think Zach is fine. I just don't, he's just annoying.
He's annoying. Again, it's like my George Russell. I'm sure he's fine. Just,
yeah. Yeah. It's just, they're just not for me.
Yeah. I think,
But I'm most looking forward to seeing Carlos at Williams. I want to see what he can do. Let's see. And I want the best for him there. I don't want the car to suck. Please figure it out, James. Figure it out. The man deserves.
I know. I mean, it's almost like the tears in his eyes was for multiple reasons. It was, you know, obviously he's leaving his, you know, second best buddy. I still think Lando is his best buddy.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Charles is like, you know, a bro. You know, leaving the Tifosi family, and then the crying of I've got to go to Williams. I think that the tears were also like, the truth is I'm going to be in this car and that's going to be hard, because we've seen it happen. Like, we saw it happen with Valtteri. Like, Valtteri's even said, he's like, this was the worst mistake that I've made because I did nothing in this car and now nobody wants me because I don't have anything to prove. Like, I wouldn't want me either. And I do think that that's because
Valtteri's a self-aware king too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's like, oh, this sucks. So I don't want to see that same thing happen to Carlos.
No, me neither.
Because that's just sad, but excuse me. I don't know.
I think they're going to get it together for Carlos.
I think so too.
Like, we were hopeful for Haas. It's going to be like, Willful for Williams.
Yes. But look at what our hopeful for Haas did, because those fuckers came out and were like, we have something to prove. Where did they finish? I have to look at that because I don't remember.
I think in like sixth, maybe. Maybe higher.
I don't know. Was it that? Because remember that
it was super close.
Let's see how the
constructors standing.
Aston Martin finished in fifth. Alpine was in sixth. Haas was in seventh. And RB was in eighth. Wow.
Yeah. But Haas had a great year.
That was amazing. Yeah, they did. 58 points. I don't think anybody would have guessed that they were going to have 58 points at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. I'm still hopeful for Haas. I'll go the long haul, hopeful for Haas. Well, who was your least favorite team overall? Mine was Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know why it took me so long to figure that out. I was like, do I not like anybody on the
grid? But I like Fernando Alonso. But I think he hates Aston Martin.
Agreed. I think he saw, like, he took the money.
I think he hates it too.
And he was like, I need this because I need to feel like I still need to stay relevant in this sport. And I think he realized, like, he sold his soul. And he's like, I hate it here. And I could write a book. I can't because I have an NDA, but like, I should write a book.
Yeah. I don't think he even likes it there.
I think he hates it. The fact that the engineer said, I don't see a difference between these two drivers, I would have punched that motherfucker right in the middle of the eyes. Like, bam.
Excuse me? Are you kidding me?
You're going to sit here and compare Lance Stroll to
former world
champion Fernando Alonso?
Are you kidding me? No.
Step off.
Get wrecked. Right.
You are out of your mind is what you are.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Okay. Any other favorites that you'd like to discuss? Or least favorites? Because, you know, hating things is always kind of a little bit more fun.
It kind of does. It's like the thing that brings people together is what they don't like.
Oh, I think that there used to be a dating site, apparently, that you could put the things you hate in and it would match people up. And I think that hating the same thing is way more, shows how like compatible you are than what you both like. Because you can like all kinds of stuff.
That's
hating
true.
Things.
That's a real, because you can't fake hate.
No. And the way you feel, like, you can like things all right.
Yeah. You can fake like, but you can't fake hate. You really can't.
Yeah. Like, if you're on a dating site and someone's like, oh, I like to, you know, go on hikes, you're like, well, I like outside and I can walk. I could fake that. But like, if you hate something, you can't hate. You can't fake hate.
You can't fake hate.
And you just feel more passionately, you know?
Yeah.
I have a whole list of things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, team I hate the most is Red Bull.
Yeah. No, but you said it was S. Martin. Oh, but you take it back?
Oh, no. Right. It is S. Martin. It is. I hate them both the same. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
I don't hate Red Bull anymore. I don't like Christian Horner. I think he's annoying, too.
He is annoying.
but he does have ginger spice. And for that reason, I have a hard time because I have, you know, I really imprinted on ginger spice as a, you know, 12 to 13 year old girl. And maybe I, you know, even reasonable mind should be like, you should disconnect that. But like at some point my brain latched onto her and it's a bond that cannot be broken.
I get this, but like, honestly, Ginger, you can do better than Christian Horner.
But like maybe she doesn't want to. And they have beautiful children. You
know, I at this age, like, I wouldn't want to start over either, but like, I'd also be like, you got to go. Like, you ain't going to make a mockery of me and my family and our home that we've created. And then you just be like, this is fine. Especially when it leaked of like the selfies he sent that girl.
Oh,
like,
I forgot. I was like, it's been so long. You know, it's been so long.
I know. I feel like I forgot. Yeah. Years ago, but like,
you brought it back up to the top of the Rolodex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also their home. I hope on Drive to Survive, they show some more of their home because it gives the same sort of soothing feeling that watching The Holiday does, except like the house is nicer.
Yeah.
Like that English cottage. It's not a cottage. It's a giant mansion.
It's a manor.
It's a manor home. Mm-hmm. It seems beautiful and relaxing and cozy AF.
And like
cozy.
You know, those throw blankets just like engulf you and you're like, I live here now.
They
like,
have probably 30 Hermes blankets.
Oh, for sure. And like the big plushy white couches that you're not allowed to put your shoes on, but like
it's cozy.
So cozy. And there's probably always a fire with like
and like firewood. Tea on the kettle. Always. Yeah. Always.
Can we just
relax
out and like we'll go? What if we just be like, can we just VRBO your house? But Christian,
no, it's true. Like honestly, just talking about it has really like relaxed my soul. Yeah. Truly. I may just put on that one clip of Drive to Survive when we get off of this and just be like, man, that's
put it on loop. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, this has been a fun season.
This has been a fun season. It took a while because we had some really cool moments in the beginning, but it really revved up and we had some, you know, we had racing. We raced again in 2024, it took a while, but we raced.
We had so many different champions.
We did. We had ups, we had downs, we had crashes. We had, you know,
not enough crashes. I mean, like, protecting everyone's safety, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like more spin outs, maybe we needed more spin outs.
Mm-hmm. We also didn't get as many animals on the track, I felt like, this season.
Well, Yuki thought we had a beaver, but...
Well, you know, a beaver in the desert. But, you know, God bless him. He's cute. You know, but we didn't get as many. We knew really... I feel like... Is it Canada that gives us beavers all the time?
I don't know.
I don't remember, but...
My brain for this season is just... It's melting out my
ear. I know. Feel like exactly. Like, as soon as one was done, it was like, you know...
It was gone.
It was gone.
I had to clear it out.
Yeah.
We talked about it and then I just.
Yeah. Clear your cookies.
Threw it out. But no, I loved the season that we got more champions. We got fun podiums. We got new podium mixes. You know, they call them in like a, what do they call them in football when like there's a score, like a scoregami? Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, you don't know what this is?
No. What's a scoregami?
I can teach you something new.
There's a whole
community and they're called like, and they track scoregamis, which are scores in football games in NFL football games that have never happened before. And so if you get a scoregami, it's like a big deal that we've got like that. There's been a game that's a scoregami, random, you know, never before happened scores. So I feel like we got some like scoregami podiums, like these mixed up podiums that we've never gotten before, which were fun.
This actually does bring me to a new question for you, Danielle. This was a great year for you because we could bet on Formula One.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was our first full year of gambling.
Give us a wrap up of how it went with your, what did you bet on? DraftKings or what was the platform that you bet on?
I'm a DraftKings girl.
DraftKings. Okay. Got it.
Not because I necessarily like it the best. It's just where I live.
Just for you.
You know what? Here's the thing about sports betting on Formula One. The odds are not great. because, you know, it's pretty predictable going into a race. But I will say, I put my money on Max Verstappen when we called it. I said, you guys, McLaren's going to fumble the bag. Max Verstappen's going to win the world championship. So I did bet on that. Do I wish I bet more? Yes. Maybe, you know, at the same point in the season next year, if it looks like that, I will, you know,
yeah.
Maybe I'm going to set a thing by May. I'm going to put $100 on who I think is going to be the world, the champion. I had some ups. I had more downs than ups, but to make money on Formula One racing, you got to throw some, wild cards in there.
Right.
So, but I do enjoy it. And maybe next year I'll start a little betting group if you want to join me. You probably don't. But
I think you should throw it out there.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. I'm not betting a lot on these races. I'm betting, you know, $25, 50, yeah. Not even 50 sometimes, but
that, I mean, that works. I'm trying to,
I did very well on betting, finishing the first lap. And if, you know, Lando started to prove me wrong at the end of the season, but there was a nice little run where if Lando was on pole, I wasn't picking him to finish first after the next lap. And it did pretty well.
As you should. Right. Because he wasn't great at doing that.
I think I was up on Formula One racing over the year.
Yes. Well, that's up. Well, another wrap up and then we can wrap this up. But just wanted to wrap up our Push Fantasy League. You guys really, really showed up this year. This was amazing. So our first place winner. And if you hear this, send me a DM. I will send you a sweatshirt. And I'll send you some stickers. You can pick blue or gray. It's yours.
They're both quite comfy.
They're great. It's my favorite sweatshirt I have. I love it so much. When we say good merch, we have good merch. Okay.
Size up if you want it to be roomy, though.
Yeah, exactly. Doors by Gunther Steiner. You were the big winner with 5,247 points. So congratulations. Honorable mention in second place. Take a stroll. Love that. Also send us a DM and we'll send you some stickers. And... I love it. Love it. Love it. Number three, DeVries Dyson. You are in third place overall. So congratulations. Also send us a DM and I'll send you some stickers.
Amazing. So, great work, guys.
This was great.
Great work. Well, it's been a fun season, Shannon.
Yes, it has. You know, I'm just going to say this because she's going to want to know, but my daughter finished 10th. Red Bull's missing side pods. She came in 10 overall.
Ruby Jane.
Yeah.
I feel like Ruby Jane's fandom, is it still as strong? I feel like
No. Okay. She's still as strong. She has also shared her fandom with NFL and knows, she probably knows the Scorigami, so I will ask her about this. But knows very obscure facts about players that I'm like, who is that?
What? Well, okay. Good. This has been fun, Shan.
It has been fun. What another season in the books, Danielle.
In the books. I can't believe that we
about F1 with you.
That the regular season is really only 2 months away. Can't believe, but we will be in Australia. We're going to take a little break.
Yeah.
But we will be back in January.
Yes, we will.
With some, you know, some, we'll talk about some stuff.
Yes, we will. We will have things to talk about. What that is, we don't know yet, but it'll be a surprise for you and for us.
Well, yeah, we'll figure something out. We're not going to watch, you know, we're going to be watching what they do in the off season. We know the vacations are going to be 10 out of 10. So we will be keeping you up to date on that. But yeah, make sure you're following us on social at F1 Push Push on Instagram and TikTok, because we will be updating you, you know, on the latest, greatest, sharing lols, getting those Friday posts out. We're going to take a couple weeks off because it's the holidays here and there and everywhere. But we'll be back in the new year talking about all things F1. If you want to catch up, if you just found the pod, if you're new to F1, a bunch of our episodes are available on YouTube at thestateoflouisville.com or on the State of Louisville channel. Push, they're all available there. So it's youtube.com/thestateoflouisville. And we are on all the socials. Also, if you have enjoyed the season, or maybe if you haven't, just let it go. You
know,
just
yeah, let it ride. Don't tell
just
us. You don't
want it behind. But if you've enjoyed an episode or two this season, it would mean so much to us. Truly, if you would rate and review the podcast, it means so much to us, all of you who listen and follow F1 with us every week and of the season and stick with us with our, you know, crazy sketch. But we love the push, the pit crew.
Our pit crew is the absolute best. And you guys are just, you make us filled with joy. Like anytime I see we have new comments in the DMs, I'm like, God, I love these people. Like, you guys are the best.
It truly is. We have so much fun with you all. So if you've had some fun with us this year, please rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It would make us happier than Max Verstappen claiming his fourth world title. Had to give him the shout for the end of the season. And until next time, push, push.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly. Auto Parts.